Hello everyone, welcome back to the Education for Climate Talks. Today it's my pleasure to be with Patrick Kirwan. Hello Patrick, how are you?
Hello.
So Patrick, you're coming from Ireland and you're a science and biology teacher in a school which is named Ardscoil na Mara in Tramore, pardon my Irish, in Ireland. And you're also the director of the Irish School Sustainability Network. So we understand that you are a teacher very passionate about sustainability education. This is why you are with us today, because we want to learn more about who you are and what you're doing. In your profile in LinkedIn, I was looking at that before that recording, you put something very, just a line, something very simple, and you say that you are an educational professional focusing on horticulture, sustainability and climate change to engage and empower young people to become change makers. So we want to learn more about that. How did you get there? What's your journey into sustainable education? Who are you, Patrick Kirwan? Please, floor is yours.
Well, look, thanks a million, Tamur, for having me. I really appreciate it. I started off my journey as an epidemiologist. So I was working in Nigeria, and then I did some work with prisons in the UK. And I reached a point where I was looking for work that I thought would be more meaningful for me and more purposeful. So I changed into teaching, and I was working disadvantaged schools in London. And what caught my attention was a course where you could work on the job, and they trained you to basically tackle educational disadvantage. And you're working in inner city schools that were quite tough. And further along my journey, I basically started this school garden. And it's in a really, the school had no space, but I started it because, you know, I loved nature and it helped me with my own well-being. And I thought the kids who are predominantly from, you know, live in apartments and they don't access the nature spaces around them, and there are plenty in London, I thought this would be really good for them. So my principal set me a challenge. And he said that I needed to take 30 students downstairs. And I just thought, this is kind of impossible for the resources that I had. So as we do, we basically problem solve. And in problem solving, I decided to basically train a small group of students as student leaders in the garden. And they basically showed small groups of students. So one student leader would work with five students, how to take care of the chickens, how to dismantle pallets and turn them into planters, how to propagate flowers and vegetables. And it changed my perspective on education. And that was my kind of journey into ESD, which is so simple. It's just basically like starting with nature. And it was a transformative experience for me because I saw what skills the kids were getting in the garden. And they were kind of developing in a way that they'd never develop in the classroom. And so that's basically kind of where it all began. And I think further along the journey into teaching, when I had a bit more space and time, I could stand back and look at the education system, I just felt like I was a cog in a machine, an unthinking, sleepy machine. And that's not to say, you know, teaching is an amazing career. And we know that really strong relationships between students and teachers can have massive impact, you know, on young people and improve their life chances. But I felt as a system, we weren't responding to the context that the students were in, which is a biodiversity and climate crisis that will define the rest of their lives. And that's something that I think is just, it speaks ill of the education system itself. You know, I just think that's just like, it's not where we should be at.
Very nice, very nice. Super interesting what you said, because you're not the first one I meet like that, Patrick, is that you're coming from science and you're a scientist and you decided to become an educator, which is something to my view super interesting. Also to help students reconnect in a way with nature. And if they're not connected with nature, obviously it will be very difficult for them to understand exactly the issues at stake. So I propose to focus now on what you are doing concretely as a teacher, your concrete activity, and I'm sure you've got a few, and select maybe the one you retain the most telling or the most representative of what you're trying to do with your students. Please.
Well, I think I'm going to talk a little bit about the Irish School Sustainability Network and a little bit of what we're doing with that. So the network is, I started in March 2021. And essentially, if you're a champion who's working in a school like myself, it can be a really lonely space in which to work. So the network is about kind of bringing a community together, teachers and students, and essentially providing emotional support. Because I think the biggest challenge we have is to win hearts and minds. And there's no silver bullet in that. Like, it takes a lot of energy and resilience. So as part of the kind of programs that we run with the network, one of them is Bite-Sized Biodiversity. Because we're all about like trying to solve problems. So we're asking the question, how do we make teaching nature easy? And this is an example of innovative practice, because essentially the continual professional development that's out there, you know, normally it's an hour and a half, and people can't commit to that every single week. So what we run is, and teachers, as we both know, they talk about time is the biggest issue. So we were thinking, right, let's run a 15-minute training every week on a Monday, online, straight away after school finishes. And we'll take one species a week, and we'll talk about its interconnections to other things in nature. And we also give teachers ideas of what they can do in class and outside to do with that species. And every week, we have about 50 people on the call. And it's really successful in that, like, the cost of the teacher is very small, 15 minutes, and they walk away with a PowerPoint, and they walk away with ideas that they can use in their school that week. So some planning has been done for them. And that's quite unique. It doesn't happen, I think, in any other sphere in Ireland within education. The second example, I would say, is that we're trying to lobby organizations and the government for the changes that we need to see and build partnerships for that. So in terms of the network, we are actually quite unique in that there are lots of education organizations who are supporting schools, but from outside the school space. And we are the voice from within, and we're talking about what's actually happening on the ground. And there are lots of brilliant people who are working to support schools. And they've been working for, you know, decades, supporting teachers and principals, but that hasn't resulted in any meaningful change. And we're saying that if you keep doing the same thing, you can't expect to have different outcomes. And this is teachers on the ground saying this. So we're kind of giving people examples of how we can actually work in a different way. And we're really encouraging them to do that. So those are the kind of two kind of pieces of work that I really wanted to talk about.
Thank you. You've given again the very definition of madness by Albert Einstein, keeping doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome, but does not work. So that's brilliant. I just put down a few notes there. What you said, bringing community together, giving emotional support. That's very, very interesting. So for you, that's one of the key there when it comes to sustainability education and lobbying. So also having some political agency in order to express what's happening on the ground so that maybe at policy level, things are changing. This is what you meant?
Essentially, yes. And it's like anyone, not just the you know, policies, because policy can actually take a long time to change. But we're actually looking at, like, even, for example, corporate sponsorship. So we're saying, like, if you have corporate sponsorship in Ireland, which we do, in terms of sponsoring education organizations, we want to talk to the corporate sponsors and direct that money to in a way that will actually really help teachers. So, for example, what we see an awful lot is one-off workshops, where an organization might come into a school and do a workshop with a class on climate justice. But we're saying that, and teachers recognize this, and the facilitators who are coming into schools also recognize this, that isn't going to bring lasting change. We want those organizations to actually come and sit in the school at least for a day a week, for a year, and actually help the school to strategically plan to actually win hearts and minds. And if climate justice, for example, is a focus, that you see how you weave that throughout all the different curriculums in the school.
And you involve your students in that process so that they can also develop some specific competences. That's brilliant. So, I mean, you already tackled a bit the issue, but we understand that because of that experience and all the activities you've developed, you have faced certainly some challenges. And I always ask the same question to all the people I'm meeting, because I think it's something where we can learn a lot. I mean, the type of challenges you had to face on how, of course, you'd overcome or overcame these challenges. And from there, to try to understand if we can identify main factors, drivers of success, I should say, so that we can learn from each other and gain some time in a way. So can you share your views on that, please?
Okay, well, I think I have to say I've been very lucky, because I've the two principles that I worked under when I started this journey are very open, they're brave, and they're quite flexible to what we do in terms of the timetable. So that has been like a really massive big help. So they haven't, that can be a big barrier for individual champions who are working in schools. So they've embraced what I've been trying to do. So I've been very lucky with that. But I hear from other teachers that actually, you know, even if it's the simplest planting a forest in the school, the principal will block that. I think the biggest challenge we talked about is time. So when I've started working in my schools, I have a clear vision of what I want, and I have the know-how in terms of how to do that. But I spend my evenings and weekends and holidays kind of working on all of this, and that only gets me so far. So nobody can do this work on their own. You need basically to bring people with you. So the challenge for me is, okay, when I've reached my limits with the work I'm doing, how do I bring this on? And what I've done to overcome that challenge is to get money into the school to help me to bring people power on board, people from the community to help me to run programs. So the Department of Education in Ireland give a pot of funding that you can apply for. In previous years, it was 5,000. You know, this year it's 2,500. That's actually quite a small pot of money, and you can do very little with it, to be honest. But what I've looked for is sponsorship from a corporate company, and they've given me 60,000 over 3 years, and I have done a hell of a lot with that. I brought some people in from the community to facilitate lessons in our outdoor classroom, which wouldn't be possible without them, because I work on a full timetable. And they helped me run an environmental leadership development program where the students that I talked about that I worked in London on this kind of outdoor learning program, I've operated the same kind of model here. I also started an active travel program in our school. But again, after probably 3 months of running it, an hour before school and then doing meetings within school, I couldn't keep it up. So I used that funding to bring a parent from the community in to help me run that program. So time is a big factor, and money, like proper, like, you know, a decent amount of money can help actually overcome that barrier. The other issue for me, other obstacle, is winning hearts and minds, as I talked about. So the thing is, people might know what's going on, but they might not actually have internalized this. And when you actually have a deep understanding of the magnitude and scale of the emergency we face and how that affects you personally, then you've won someone's heart and mind, and they will just learn on their own. So if you've got a group of staff who actually have internalized this knowledge, they don't need lots of resource. They actually have, they're the biggest resources themselves and their own knowledge. And Education for Sustainable Development will just leach out into their classrooms through the subjects that they teach. But the difficulty is, how do you get them there? So there's two approaches that I've taken, and there's no silver bullet here. I'm still working on this. One is creating meaningful spaces for conversations. So in Ord Scoil na Móra, we have place-based training where teachers from all over the country come to the school and they have a conversation about biodiversity. They have a conversation about climate. they get to assess their own knowledge. They get to go out into the outdoor classroom and see the students teaching other students. So they get a glimpse of an alternative model. And then we have, you know, a really fun walk and debate at the end of the day, where they're posed questions that perhaps they haven't thought about before. You know, the whys, the whats, the hows, and have genuinely a really kind of thoughtful, interesting conversation. And I've heard from that they've walked away having quite a kind of, a profound experience. The other way I tackle that is I have a staff team in school now who are working on this, but this is the first year in the 4 years that this is my fifth year working here. And this is the first year that we have a staff team. But the only way that we've managed to do this is that the senior leadership team in the school have agreed to cover their lessons for at least 4 meetings this year. And this is where if the school really wants this to happen, then they have to put the resource into it. So it's really simple stuff, to be honest, but it's as in, like, again, no silver bullets, but it's just time, money, and providing people with the space to do that.
Absolutely. What I propose is that let's recap that, because I think it's super important that you will have the occasion to bounce on what I'm going to say. So you've insisted very much on the key issue of having a leadership, school leadership, which is proactive and really going for it, because if not, that will create problems. They are the one who will put also resources, the right resources to it. The second issue is precisely resources on time, of course, is a big issue, which means, by the way, that if we don't manage to embed sustainability within education, teachers like you, because I met so many teachers telling me the same thing, will have to find on their own the right time out of the at school, of course, to get where they want to go. And that does not work. And the third thing was very much peer learning, in a way, collaboration between education actors in order to share their experience, etc., which is something which is not just based on resources, it's on your own knowledge, but you've got to share, of course, and your competence you've got to share with your colleagues. And by the way, maybe that's the right place also to embed or to integrate also the leadership, because it's not just teachers, managers should maybe contribute to that sort of exchange so that you go beyond the circle just of educator. Do you agree?
I do. So we have a Teach Nature Day. This is what we call these days. And it's coming up on October 21st. And I'm constantly asking, you know, the senior leaders in the school and outside of the school, you know, other principals and people working in education, who needs to be at this training? I was talking to a colleague yesterday who's the deputy principal. I was like, look, I think we just need to have principals from different schools and deputy principals at the training, because it's not enough to have teachers. The teachers are already there. They're willing to do the work, these champions, but they need the support of senior management. Yeah. Essentially, in terms of a green transition, in Ireland, we have a strategy to 2030 coming from, you know, the Department of Education, but that's not a fully funded strategy. So it's nice to have some ideas, but if you've got no resources behind them, it's kind of like, I feel, a slightly pointless exercise. But I think what should be coming from the Department of Education is mandatory training for senior leadership teams in schools, because they need to see this as a priority, and they have to have the know-how in terms of how to make that happen. And even something as simple as like spelling out what does a sustainable school actually look like, because I think we inadvertently kind of greenwash ourselves into thinking that we're doing lots of great work in schools when perhaps we're actually not. So for example, we might be running some activities for Twitter instead of actually, you know, to get the nice picture and get the promotion, instead of thinking actually what impact is this having on the students. You could have a school who is basically doing lots of work in this area, but actually there's probably maybe over 200 flights being taken by students, you know, in that school within a year. Is that actually what sustainable development looks like? So I feel like, yeah, that's, I think, really kind of talking about, you know, what a sustainable school is actually be really, really useful, because I think until you get most of the staff and students having the knowledge, the attitudes, and the practices, then we're not going to be there. And that takes time.
I think that's a very important issue. And by the way, just to recall also the audience that the EuroDC report that was published this year has clearly identified the fact that there's still need for more financial support to teachers like you to promote their activities. So that confirms exactly what you're saying. So Patrick, that was really a pleasure to have you with us. We wish you the best for what will come on your activities in the future. We'll put in the description, of course, the link or resources you want to share with the audience who will be able to connect with you. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you so much, Ramo, for having me. I really appreciate it.